The election for Troy City Council and the Troy mayoral race will take place on November 5th. We have here in the studio with us City Council member David Besember, who is also running for City Council President. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with, why did you decide to run for City Council President, and what are you campaigning on?
Sure. So, my name is David Besember. I currently represent the 5th District, which in Troy is Little Italy, South Troy, East Side neighborhoods, Riverside, as well as Washington Park. It is the largest and most diverse district we have in the city, and it really, I believe, has set me up in a position to run in a leadership position for City Council President. I'm very excited about the city. I love Troy, and I'm really excited to talk about infrastructure, how we can do a better job of making sure we can keep our finances in check, and focusing on quality of life issues that that voters are thinking about this year.
So what sorts of quality of life issues are you thinking?
Yeah, so one of the things I'm particularly excited about for the work I've already done on the council is to focus on traffic issues in our city. Sometimes local politics isn't all that exciting, but traffic stop signs are a really important issue for me. We've got a lot of people who speed in this city, and so when you have neighborhoods with a lot of speeders, that's a big problem for constituents. So I focused on replacing traffic lights with four-way stops to slow congestion, and that's just one of the quality of life issues I've been really excited about.
And the infrastructure projects you mentioned?
Yeah. So when we're talking about infrastructure, what I'm most excited about and what I like to pay a lot of attention to is the big infrastructure projects with regards to our water systems. So this cycle, we bonded $40 million to invest in the water lines to the Tom Hanek Reservoir, which for those that don't know, we in the city of Troy serve other municipalities with water from the Tom Hanek Reservoir. It is a revenue generator for one thing, but it's also quality water that services a lot of the municipalities. So putting the money into investment projects like that is really key to making sure we continue to focus on infrastructure above ground and below ground. We've also been working on the seawall downtown to make sure we can reinforce that. It was one of the largest public works projects in the city's history. So it's those kinds of projects we need to continue as people become more excited and are moving into our city. We want to make sure that we have the infrastructure to handle that.
And you would be handling that by overseeing the finances and what you're financing.
Right. So the way it works locally is the city council, the administration will come to us with bond requests, and the city council is empowered to vote on any bonds that we do in the city. And so when there are projects in place, the administration will come to us to authorize bond investments. And that's that. So we hold the purse, so to speak, in the city council.
Gotcha. So would you be aiming to contract with local contractors, with affirmative action contractors?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So one of the things we have done actually just within this last month is we voted on a resolution called the Apprenticeship Resolution, which will require any contracts in the city of $100,000 or more, they would be required to use a New York State licensed apprenticeship program. And what that means is a lot of local workforce is a part of the New York State apprenticeship programs because unions, this is a union supported program, working class people. We want to make sure when we have all of this infrastructure and investments we're doing, that we do use local workforce to do that development. So this is something that is brand new. We passed it bipartisan this month. And so moving forward, any construction projects of $100,000 or more will be required to use those apprenticeship pieces. We had folks come in and speak in favor of this resolution from the city. These are city workers. These are black and brown workers. These are single mothers who are looking to get into the middle class in our city and saw this as an opportunity to do so. So we're going to keep working on those kinds of projects to make sure we're building local and using local workforce to do that.
So you sponsored the Plastic Free Hudson Act, which passed unanimously in September. However, the environmental hazards caused by the litter goes way beyond styrofoam takeout containers and plastic bags when they wash into storm drains.
Right.
Do you foresee the Plastic Free Hudson Act being expanded, or maybe other preventative measures being taken to keep trash out of the river?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And so when we passed the Plastic Free Hudson River Act, we, as you mentioned, we did it in a unanimous way. I was really proud to work with environmental advocates as well as disability rights advocates on the plastic straw component of that. And this is a starting point. And we, as a city, need to be serious about the environmental impacts of the work that we do, because as anyone who's paying attention knows, you know, climate change is something that is dramatically changing the way that municipalities and places all over the world need to operate. So I see the Plastic Free Hudson River Act as a starting point. It does ban styrofoam use in the city for single-use styrofoam. It also will reduce the use of plastic straws by placing them upon request only. And it builds us into the New York State plastic bags ban by requiring a 5-cent fee on paper bags. The idea being simply shifting from plastic to paper is not necessarily the most environmentally sound move. We want to be using more reusable bags and those kinds of things. So the 5-cent fee will allow us to provide bags, reusable bags to Troy residents. And what we need to now do is work alongside the Solid Waste Advisory Group to really focus on our 10-year solid waste management plan. This is a massive undertaking that's going to require a lot of effort, but it is something that we drastically need to do.
Well, everybody talks about the garbage problem that we have, but it's hard to imagine that this problem could be improved without addressing the underlying issue of economic disparity in our city, which disproportionately affects people of color. So you mentioned the apprenticeship program, which mm-hmm. sounds amazing, but how else could the city council use its legislative power, use its finance power to alleviate inequality in Troy?
Yes, that's a big, deep question, and it's an important one too, because as people might know, we are a city with problems that a lot of upstate cities face. You know, post-industrial belt, where we had a lot of industry here in the past, and that has sort of gone away, and we are now seeing more investment downtown, which is great, but we need to make sure we're sharing prosperity through the neighborhoods. It's something I talk about as I'm walking door to door across the city, especially in South Troy, especially in North Central and Lansingburg, is people in the neighborhoods feel neglected. And there is a disparity, as you mentioned, in our city. We have about a quarter of the population who lives in poverty. We don't have enough affordable housing in the city. As I've talked to housing folks, there are constantly waiting lists of hundreds of people waiting to get access to affordable housing in the city. So the way I think about some of these income disparities is that access to housing is a fundamental piece of that. And so when I'm thinking about developing policies locally, the things I'm most interested in tackling are things like our zombie properties in the city that are typically bank-owned buildings or owned by LLCs who don't have any interest in the city. And they see, you know, they leave these buildings blighted in our neighborhoods. And so one of the things we can do now, we as a city are empowered by the state to go after zombie properties. We can fine banks if they don't fix up their buildings. So the way I look at it, we need to be aggressive in targeting banks and making sure that they are either fixing up their buildings or we fine them until they do comply. And if they don't comply, we should be taking those buildings back from them. Then we now have an ability to use the foreclosure process to give regular working people an opportunity to get a house in the city. I was someone who actually benefited from a foreclosure process myself. Me and my fiance, we bought a home off the foreclosure list a few years back. And it's really making sure we can get these buildings back into regular people's hands and get them away from banks. I think that's one strategy we have to work on that.
Well, we've been speaking with David Besember. He's a council person and also running for city council president in the November 5th election. And for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Alexis Goldsmith.